Good morning, Gary. Welcome back.
Morning, Scott. Thanks.
Glad to have you here. So, Texas Power Public Power Week, tell me what that's all about.
Actually, it's a national Public Power Week.
Okay.
For American Public Power Association. It's just there's about 2,000 public power utilities in the country, and they celebrate first week of October every year, the good things that public power brings to the local community.
You know, we're fortunate in Texas, and people, if you don't know, there are three grids. There's the East, the West, and us, right?
That's right. ERCOT is the third.
How did that happen that Texas was able to just separate themselves from the rest of the country?
That's way before my time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But the utilities in Texas didn't want to be regulated by the federal government, wanted to be regulated locally by the state, and they elected to not connect to the rest of the world, basically, but that was long, long ago back in the 40s and 50s.
That's a good decision.
It was a good decision.
Of course, we've had weather events that have happened here in Texas. Tell me a little bit about that grid, about how public utilities from across the state help one another in a time like this.
So there are about 70 public power utilities in the state, and anytime events like Hurricane Harvey happen, to the extent that we can, we send utility crews to other public power entities to help each other when South Texas was devastated, and crews that from the north and the west part of the states can go and help when they can. I mean, it's difficult sometimes, but we can do that. When we can aid each other, we do.
Sure. What did BTU's part play in this last one?
Yeah, we had our own problems, and we were very fortunate that our problems weren't as severe as those in South Texas and Houston. So we took care of our own. Weren't able to send crews to mm-hmm. help, but we were able to make sure that our customers were back online in a relatively short period of time.
Sure. So tell me. I don't know if there's an average summer in Bryan, Texas or not, but the summer that's just been completed,
right.
Where did that kind of rank and what did that do for
us? I would call that a relatively mild summer. I would say BTU revenues for the summer were down mm-hmm. from what we would have expected. But that's okay. I mean, we'll survive that. But it was we had some hot weather early in August and early in July, I think, but for the most part, pretty mild this summer.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I guess Shell and Bob give us the weather on television, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. But for you guys, the people who are your weather analysts, it's pretty important.
It's very important. Everything that we do rides on having a good summer, and this one was not such a good summer.
Sure. Now, the idea also, so people understand, is when you have extra power out there, you can go sell it on the market, and if it's hot in another part of the state, maybe not even here, that may be a moneymaker for BTU.
It can be, and we do that every hour of every day. We're looking at that market, determining whether that's something that we should be doing. And yes, it works out most of the time for us that having our own generation is really a good thing, and we take advantage of that either by selling it or by using it to serve our own customers.
One of the things that Bryan has experienced in the last couple of years and will in the future is actual growth. We've got more rooftops now. That's a new thing, and it gives you some opportunities. Talk a little bit about how BTU has had to change as Bryan has actually grown.
Yeah, that growth is good, and we are seeing lots of growth. We've looked at that over the last couple of years, and we're probably growing at about a 4% clip, and which is outstanding as compared to most other utilities. And so BTU has had to accommodate that. We're looking at whether or not to build the next generating plant. We've talked about Gibbons Creek, the coal-fired power plant shutting down, and it actually did shut down this week. We ran out of coal. Which was a planned thing, but we are always looking at what our next step needs to be with respect to power generation or power purchase and for the customer.
So, how many generating facilities does BTU have?
We have four generating units plus Gibbons Creek.
Okay.
We have two plants here in Bryan, one out at Lake Bryan, and one older plant right in the middle of almost downtown. And then Gibbons Creek. So four generating units, really.
So when you talk about maybe adding more generation, percentage-wise, what would that new generation facility bring in, would you think?
It would about double our capacity. If we were to build new generation, we have some needs coming up in the next few years. And so if we were to build from economy of scale perspective, we would about double our generation portfolio.
So where's that money come from?
Well, ultimately, it will come from the ratepayers, but we will not do that if it's not the most economical choice for us. So the rate, we will always protect the ratepayers to the extent we can. So we will make the most economical choice, whether it's building new generation or just buying power from the market. Right now, the market is flush, so it can be the best decision just to buy the power from the market.
Certainly. Now, we talked about growth in Bryan. You have many customers within what would be called College Station. Talk a little bit about the growth in College Station.
We do, particularly South College Station. For those, you know, if you're not aware, we serve the city limits of Bryan and the whole surrounding area around Bryan and College Station, sort of a donut effect. And particularly in South College Station, Tower Point area, where there's lots and lots of growth, that we are seeing, significant growth for BTU out there. So lots of growth in the College Station area that BTU serves.
Sure. Well, and finally, you mentioned that Gibbons Creek now has gone offline. There's still a lake out there, and there's still a facility. You're part of a consortium with other cities. Thought you had a sale on it. That didn't happen. But where do we stand now with Gibbons Creek?
Well, we're still looking at, if there are others out there that might want to participate or purchase that property, nothing at this time. So we're still the owners. We'll still, we still have obligations and responsibilities with respect to the environmental cleanup and those types of things. But we still plan to run the unit next summer also. So we will, right now we're calling it a seasonal unit. Summer only, and we'll see how long that lasts. All the options are still on the table. We're just not sure what direction it's going to go at this point.
Let me circle back to new generation again for a minute. While the market's flush, clearly you don't need to move in that direction, but how quickly can you shift gears to decide, yes, it's time to go ahead and spend the money to build?
Well, as far as making the decision, we can do that relatively quickly, probably within a 6-month time frame. To actually build the plant probably will take a couple of years once we decide that that's the direction we want to go.
Got it. Okay. Anything else we didn't cover this morning?
One thing, and that is Public Power Week. Our way of celebrating that is to sponsor a free day at the Children's Museum of the Brazos Valley, and that'll be Sunday, October the 8th, from 1 to 5 p.m. So BTU's, anybody that wants to go to the Children's Museum from 1 to 5 on October the 8th, BTU's going to pick up the tab.
Over on East 29th. Great.
Yes,
thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks, Scott.
You bet.